Dear Heavenly Father, we are thankful tonight for your love and also your long suffering. Thank you, Lord, for being patient with us and granting us another opportunity to hear the gospel message of your Son, Jesus Christ, this evening. We pray, Lord, tonight that our hearts are humble to be prepared and ready to receive with meekness the engrafted word that Brother Norris will proclaim unto us. We pray, Lord, that we accept it as your holy and divine word of truth. We pray, Lord, tonight that someone is listening who is searching for the truth, that they see the wretchedness of their lives and see the dire need to be saved. And pray, Lord, that Brother Norris stand bold upon your word and break unto them the bread of life. Heavenly Father, we bless every person listening. Pray, Lord, that something is said tonight that they can make application of these things, and we know your word will not return to you void. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Flunder. We're very thankful to have each and every person on tonight. We encourage you tonight to listen tonight to our speaker in the person of Brother Jerry Norris. Brother Jerry Norris is a minister of Pleasant Grove Church of Christ there in Dallas, Texas, and he's a good preacher and a good man and a great gospel preacher. And so thankful he accepted our invitation. So we're going to let him come on this time. He's going to talk to us from the Word of God. Brother Norris.
Thank you, Brother Brooks. Good to hear you tonight. Sad to hear Brother Charles' love and passing. We know God controls all things, and we're just excited that he obeyed the gospel while he had an opportunity. Matter of fact, our lesson tonight would be centered around the very same thing that he had to do, and that is obey the gospel before it's everlasting too late. I want to thank this great host, Brother Brooks, my great friend for many years, Brother Anthony Flunder. That's my homeboy from Lubbock, my hometown. That's where I found my sweetheart, Johnny. We got married some few years ago. But for another great year, these men have been sharing the gospel over the phone across this great brotherhood to all listeners, whether you are a member of the Church of Christ or not. This message is for all who will hear it. And my message tonight that has been given to me to speak on is following the theme, speaking about the same thing. Tonight, we'll be discussing baptism now saves us. If I can get your attention tonight, if you get your Bible open, let's look at 1 Peter chapter 3. I'm going to begin reading it verses 18 through verse 21 tonight. The Bible declares, for Christ also has once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the Spirit in prison, which sometime were disobedient, and once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is eight souls, were saved by water. The like figure, whereunto baptism does also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If I were trying to profess a religion and wanted to be saved tonight, what would be my attitude? I've heard all sorts of examples by men who I really believe want to teach the truth, but for some reason have failed to do just that. They've been taught by men who wanted to sell themselves rather than the gospel of Christ. We have a lot of folk on television trying to declare all kinds of salvation and how they must accept doctrines of men, even some men teaching on the Lord's Supper, selling the bread and juice to make a profit to honest folk that are seeking truth. And when it comes to being baptized, Peter says in our text tonight, 1 Peter 3:21, that baptism does also now save us. And he's showing using an example of how this came about, or shall we say, showing the example of how it works. Now, I'll get back here in a few minutes. What I want you to see, first of all, is that the question men are asking, and that is, What must I do to be saved? Now, I'm going to tip over here because tomorrow night, my good friend, Brother Richard Odom, will come after me and explain this a little bit better. What must I do to be saved? This question indicates that there is something man must do in order to be saved, and that is baptized. So we declare tonight that it's not what God must do or what Christ must do. He has already shed his blood on the cross, or even what the Holy Spirit must do, but what must I do? We all must know that the Godhead plays a part of man's salvation, but there is God's part, listeners, and there is man's part. And when we say do, meaning what must I do, it suggests there is something that I must do. Now listen to me tonight. Stop listening to men who tell you that there is nothing you must do, because there is. That's why Peter answered in the way he does. Peter knows what element was used for the saving of Noah and his family in the ark. And he uses this same thought to show us how baptism save us now. I'm going to cut through the maze of the text and try and show us tonight what Peter was talking about. Peter says in verses 19 through 20 that through the preaching of Noah, there was saved 8 souls. Well, what happened, preacher? What happened to the rest of man that was there? You remember Noah was preaching, it's going to rain. People were having a good time, wasn't thinking about what Noah was preaching. They just kept on. This kind of reminds me of the weather that we just went through. We are still declaring men must be saved through Christ, and folks were out having a jolly good time. You remember during the construction of the ark in the Bible says, in which a few, that is 8 persons, were brought safely through the water. Peter also mentioned the imprisoned spirits during the same time, that is, in the days of Noah, not to some disembodied spirits in Hades that Christ preached to between his death and resurrection. Peter pinpoints the time in which the person's spirit lived, the antediluvian period. In 2 Peter 2 and verse number 5, speaks of Noah as a preacher of righteousness. In Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 3, it states that God allowed 120 years between the time he decided to destroy the earth and the time of its actual destruction by the flood. Now, we don't know precisely just how long of this 120 years that Noah spent preaching is not known. It didn't reveal that to us. We do know one thing for sure. The antediluvians as a whole did not believe Noah's preaching. Because one thing we do know is Noah and his family constructed through God's instruction, built the ark themselves. Stay with me, church. Stay with me. Built the ark themselves. So what we see in Genesis 7 and 13, Noah and his sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and their wives were brought through the water, were saved through the water. In other words, they were brought to safety through the water, evidently indicating the water as the means. In fact, the ark was held up by water. Water was therefore employed for the preservation and safety of Noah's family. And they, in a definite sense, were saved by the element, the salvation of the obedient through the water. Though the water spilled the damnation of the rebellious, it meant the salvation of those that were being obedient. That's what it is tonight, church. If men that are falling away from the Lord, falling away from safety, if they would be obedient to the gospel of Christ, they can protect their lives. We're running, we're in a pandemic. We just come through a snowstorm here in Texas. Men are running from a pandemic that started last year. We're running trying to save our lives and go lose our soul if we're not careful. It is striking, listeners, to see the importance of water in connection with salvation, physical or spiritual. Down through the ages, water played an important role in the saving of Noah and his family. It certainly was important to the deliverance of the Israelites when they were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea in 1 Corinthians 10 and 2. As they escaped the pursuing Egyptians, the pile of water was an important element as Israel crossed the Jordan and entered the Promised Land. And even in the rites and ceremonies of the Old Testament Jews, water played an integral part. And my question tonight, should we then be amazed that God would use that water should have an important place in the salvation of mankind in the Christian age in which we live today? Peter says, the eight souls were saved in the ark and by the water. The ark protected them from the flood, and the water bore up the ark, the means of their salvation from the old world. The vast, unbelieving world surrounding Noah perished. Those saved in the ark were saved through the means of water. I hope I'm helping somebody tonight. I had to learn this before I was baptized. So Peter says in 3:21, and corresponding to that, baptism now saves you. Not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but an answer to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We must understand that in one sense, God was responsible for the salvation of Noah and his family, and it was through his mercy and love that he provided a means whereby they could escape the doom of the world. The means he chose was the ark, through water. Verse 20, had Noah refused to accept the means God had provided, we could only call him rebellious, because he was. He would surely have been lost had not he obeyed God in more ways than one. Today, God, through his Son, has also provided a means whereby we may avail ourselves of his salvation and whereby we may meet the blood of Christ. He has provided it in his mercy, his kindness, his love. But you and I must accept what he has provided, and not try to make up something ourselves. Now, you may be one of those that have been told all you need to do is ask Jesus to come into your heart and you will be saved. The Holy Spirit has said, baptism now saves you. How could then something be unessential, optional? In other words, you can do it if you want to. You can just leave it alone. How could it be optional that God has said, saves you? The plan of salvation that had been proclaimed all through the New Testament. Look what Jesus says in Matthew 24:5-13. Many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Verse number 11, many false prophets shall rise, shall deceive many. Verse 13, but he that shall endure until the end, the same shall be saved. But that's a future tense mentioning, because there are some things that you have to do. You have to be baptized. You have to be added to the Lord's body. You have to continue to live faithful unto death. And salvation, the saving aspect, can be yours. Now listen to Jesus again in Mark 16:16. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. In Luke 8:12, it gives the reason that many refuse to believe. The Bible says, Jesus says, the devil doesn't want you to know or to hear truth. And then cometh the devil, and he take away the words out of their heart, lest they should believe and be saved. John says in John 3:17, for God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world should be saved through him. Jesus also declared in John 10:9, that I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Now tonight, what I want to ask you before we come to a conclusion of our thought tonight, why haven't you been baptized? Maybe you did not understand, or maybe you were told all you had to do is have faith, pray, say the sinner's prayer, ask Jesus to come into your heart and you will be saved. Let me admonish you tonight, listeners. Get your Bible open. All these men all this year have been declaring the word of God. And I don't think this is by accident. I think this is a revelation from God that more men can hear the gospel being declared that haven't never heard it before. If I was you, I'd light up that board tonight. I'd run Tommy back and forth answering the phone of men who saying, I'm ready to be saved tonight. I want to put Jesus on in baptism. That's how you got to do it. You've got to quit thinking about who's watching, who's listening, what folk are saying about you, and run to Jesus so that you can be saved. The Bible teaches that no one who is separated from God by sin will be saved. Every single person conceived by man who have ever lived upon the face of the earth have sinned. Yes, have sinned. You might be sitting there looking pretty and saying, I've never done anything wrong. I don't know. But Paul declared in Romans chapter 6 and verse number 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In doing things in our life that are against God and against his will. Now listen to me tonight. The man that sin is saying, I can do what I want to because I'm grown. I'm big enough and I can decide which way I want to go. Let me tell you, you're going to be lost in the end. And did you know that God in his infinite wisdom allows you to choose which way you want to live? Oh, yeah. But he warned us concerning the consequences of not being like him. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. So whose fault is it if we are lost? It's not God's fault, but man's fault. No one who fails and not obeying God will be saved. Paul in 2 Thessalonians 1:89. The text says that God will take vengeance on in that day in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Notice the two classes of people will not be saved that Paul talks about. The first are those who know not God. In order for one to know God, he must come to the knowledge of Jesus. John 1:18, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. Jesus has declared who God is today. Today, no man can come to a knowledge of God except through Jesus. Listen to Jesus in John 14 and 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father except or but by me. Now, what this means is that no one will be able to enter heaven except those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Yeah, those who choose to remain ignorant about God will not be saved. And let me tell you tonight, church, let me stop for another moment before I tell you the second part of 2 Thessalonians 1:89, is that many folk are saying, well, I believe in Jesus. I believe in Jesus. Well, it's not a question whether you believe in Jesus, but do you believe Jesus? That's what you got to realize. Believing in him and believing him is two different thoughts. Now, back in 2 Thessalonians 1:89 shows another category of people who will not be saved. These are those who fail to obey the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 5:9. Listen, folks, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Do you believe him? Do you believe Jesus? If Jesus said, upon this rock, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, I'm not going to question Jesus. I know who built it. I know who's the founder and the maker, and I know where my salvation lies. Jesus saved those who render their allegiance and their obedience to him. And this means that we have to know what the gospel says and that we must obey it without reservation. Start walking to your phone tonight in a right relationship with God by hearing the word, Romans 10:17, believing it, John 3:16, repenting by sin, Acts 17:30, confess Jesus as Christ, Romans 10:10, and be baptized for the remission of your sins in Acts 2 and verse 38. I know there are many people that have been taught or know the gospel and know especially that they must obey it, but are hesitating for some reason. And perhaps you have not directly asked, or maybe you have been asked, but uncertain for some reason. God created us to be social beings, and we need human contact and interaction in order to thrive. God created us to be social beings. We need human contact and interaction. Tonight could be your night if you are willing to obey the gospel tonight. We don't care where you are. We don't care what state you live in. I guarantee you that you will get somebody knocking on your door or calling you to help you make that a step toward saving your soul. You are the focus of his plan of redemption. And since before sin entered into the world, Paul in 1 Timothy 2:3-4 declared, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth." See, this all-powerful, all-knowing, all-wise, always loving God wants you to be saved. He wants you to be saved tonight if you're lost, so you can come live in your own room in his mansion in heaven. All forces for good want you to be saved. All of the dead that have died in Christ want you to be saved. All those who love you want you to be saved. But the only relevant question we have tonight is, why don't you want to be saved? I want you to know tonight, you stand in need of your salvation through Jesus Christ. You are closer tonight than you've ever been, listening to the word of God, declaring the message of God. I stand on what I say tonight because it's directly from the word of God, the Bible. And if you have any reservations about it, you can call me. You can call our host or whoever it is. I will guarantee you that we'll give you, if you give us a Bible question, we'll give you a Bible answer. Peter says that we are saved through baptism. We are saved. Your salvation can be declared tonight because salvation can be attained through your obedience to the command of Jesus, and you can head toward the water tonight. We baptized a young man. He was 80-some years old on Sunday, and he had waited for a long time, and he finally obeyed the gospel of Christ. I guarantee you he was rejoicing even in the water because he knew now he had the right answer to his dilemma. Will you do it tonight? Will you refresh your mind, open your heart, respond to the gospel call tonight? It's been a pleasure talking with you, and I trust that you will be obedient. You need to get in contact with me. Brother Brooks will show you how to do that. God bless you, and thank you, Tommy, for the opportunity tonight.
Well, thank you, Brother Norris. We appreciate you. You always make it plain. We appreciate you so very much. Baptism now saves us. You all, if you're on the call tonight, you have not been baptized, or perhaps you've baptized before, you're not a member of the Church of Christ. That baptism didn't save you. You need to be baptized according to the truth. That's what you need to do. Obey this gospel. Baptism saves. Truth is what we must obey. Not just some of the truth, but the whole truth. I like what he said. Not that you believe in Jesus, but do you believe what Jesus said? It was Jesus who said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." We hope you will. If you're on the call tonight and you're not a member of the Church of Christ and you have a desire to be baptized, get back with the person who invited you to the call, and they will make the arrangements wherever you are with their minister, local minister or congregation. And if that doesn't work for you, and you want a Bible study, you want to talk to Brother Norris, or you would like for me to answer any of your questions, go ahead and email us at nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. That's nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com, and we will make the arrangements for you for Bible classes or to be baptized or find a congregation for you to visit in your local area. Just go ahead and email us or go to our website. If you'd like to review the message tonight, listen to it again. It's recorded. It's on our website. Go to hollandheightscoc.net. That's hollandheightscoc.net. And click on the Nationwide Gospel Call in the More section. And you'll be able to go and review all of the speakers and the names are there. And sermons are there to be downloaded, listened to again. We're trying to do everything we can and give you everything you need. Let's pray, God. Father, we thank you for your blessings of life. Thank you for Jesus Christ, our Lord. Father, we love you because you first loved us. You commended your love toward us that while we were yet sinners, your son would die. And oh, we're so thankful for your son who gave his life, suffered on the cross, cruelly treated, spit upon, mocked, hung between two thieves, executed by crucifixion, dying a humiliating, excruciating, painfully excruciating death on that cross for us. He did no wrong. He knew no wrong. Yet he died for our sins. And we're so thankful tonight. Now we pray for our visitors. We put this call on with them in mind. We just pray that their heart don't be hardened. And that they would understand this is to their best interest. They will receive your word with meekness. Consider how precious their souls are. But understand, they must believe your written word, which is in the Bible. We thank you for Brother Norris and his congregation. We pray for them. Pray for those who work with him, those who serve with him. We pray for him and his family, his wife, and all those in his life. Bless him, Lord, and thank you for him. For all the men, not just him, but all the men who are coming on to help us reach those who are seeking to be true worshipers. We love you and thank you for all you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Tonight is Wednesday. Tomorrow night is Thursday. Brother Richard Oldham from Midland, Texas. What one must do to be saved. He closes out tomorrow night. Brother Greg Weston, from Lubbock, Texas. Order a few that be saved. And we're excited to announce we're going into March, you all. We're going into March. Yes, we are. Flyers will be out tomorrow to all those waiting. We'll be sending them out tonight or tomorrow morning. And we want you to know that this is going to be a powerful month coming up in March. We're going to come from Rebecca Tutu. Our theme is Making It Plain. The first week, Brother Dwight Mitchell from Houston, Texas, Making It Plain by God First Loving Us. Tuesday night, Brother Ivy Powell from Caulfield, Missouri, Making It Plain by Seeing Him. Wednesday night, Brother Landon Rao from Ramona, Oklahoma, Making It Plain about the Real Jesus. Thursday night, Brother Corey Orr, Adric, Missouri, Making It Plain by Baptism. And closing out that week, Brother Zach Hall from Olathe, Kansas, Making It Plain about repentance. Oh, we got a great month coming up. More to come. A lot of great new speakers. Church of Christ, you all, this is a powerful outreach we do. If the angels can rejoice over one sinner that repents, certainly you ought to be rejoicing because of this call. We've been going almost a year now, and God has blessed us, and he's blessing you. I pray to Church of Christ, you all are strengthened and revived and restored and reminded that in the churches of Christ, we speak where the Bible speaks, and we're silent where the Bible is silent. Let's go back to the Bible, y'all. Go back to the basics. Let's leave progressive, liberal beliefs and go back to Scripture. You can be too conservative. You can be too liberal. But you can never be too Scripture. And Brother Tommy Brooks, host minister of this Nationwide Gospel Meeting Call, I pray you all have a good night.